Hello and welcome to another podcast here with Albion Hurricanes with me, Steve Firth, Technical Director at Albion Hurricanes. Thank you to all those who are listening for the first podcast and all the kind thoughts and the regards that you sent saying how good it was and it was a good idea and we hopefully can get this going and doing a good job. Just a couple of quick updates for you. Thank you to everybody that's been sending in some great stuff on social media from all the kids working outside and following along with what we've been doing. Reminder that you can do that on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just keep sending us the hashtag AHFC at home and sending those things. We'll be doing daily skills, activities, fitness stuff, and posting it out there. And so hopefully the kids can follow along. Along with a lot of other things that we've got planned and some of that stuff that we'll be talking about today. The good news for today is that I'm not on my own. I've managed to get a guest along, which will be making me a little bit easy. So you'd have to listen to my dulcet tones all day long. So I'd like to introduce real quick our girls director, Danny Hill. Dan, how are you doing?
Good morning, Steve.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Where are you? Where are you calling in from today? Are you back at home, or are you up in the hill country still?
We came back home for a few days to get some stuff, and we're going to head back up the hill country with the family, Stoke Kerry's family.
Very good. Very good. So, just to introduce you, Dan. Obviously, right now your role is girls director at the club. I've just got a couple of questions for people. Although most people know you as Dan's probably one of the two or three longest serving members of Albion Hurricanes, been here longer than me, which is a long time. So Dan, a couple of questions for you just to start with. First of all, how long have you been with the club?
Joined the club in 2002. I think it started the year before. And then I had a brief spell at Lamstar 2011 and some fantastic people there. And then came back and from 2012 to present. So I've been at the club quite a while, seen a lot of things, seen a lot of changes.
Yeah, absolutely, and obviously with your time at the club, you've worked in a lot of different areas, you know, from on the girls' side especially. I know you obviously worked with boys as well when you first started, but what different areas have you worked on the girls' side, and kind of where are you at currently?
I started off working with the boys, transitioned over to the girls. I also started working with the junior Hurricanes with Tony Johnson. And God bless those people, because I don't think that's my skill set anymore with that many kids. But I worked in the junior Hurricanes, and then we had a boys director at the time, McAteel. He's doing a fantastic job. So what we did was, Mark sat down with Mark. He said, listen, go to the girls program. So I just started working with the girls, I think, around 2004, working at all different kind of levels. Went from ECNL, ECRL, Old Premier League, and now working the Central and the West campuses. So I've sort of been all the way across the different levels of the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are the from your end, like I said, me, you, Greg Munslow, Mark Ruffo, probably the longest serving members here, and we've been here since. Well, I've been here obviously since it was just the old Campbell Road. From your end, having been here one of the longest, what's some of the biggest changes you've seen with the club, apart from its growth, obviously, but what's some of the biggest changes you've seen with the club over the last 15 years or so?
Yeah, I think many. I think when we first started, we had portable lights, you know, on car parks, on school fields, and there's a winder lights up and the circus music started playing, you know. The facilities, I mean, have changed massive. We would used to have to line the fields. We didn't have anyone to line the fields. So on Friday, we'd line the fields and we'd get bought a Mexican meal for doing it. It was just what you had to do. But I think the club has changed so much in terms of the facilities. We have the structure of the club now. We have office staff. We have different directors for levels. So it's kind of a more hands-on approach. So I think that has really, really helped. I think the coaches' development that we do at Albion once a week, or I know people talk daily about how they improve the coaches, etc. that's gone through the roof. And I also think, to be honest, just speaking on the girl side, Steve, the quality of staff, I mean, to work with Ben Williams, Rafa Barzo, and Greg Monsworth, to name a few, just the ones I work very closely with, it's an honour, and getting to learn every day on the job is also makes it appealing for us as coaches as well. So I think the club has got a really good structure in place over the last 15 years from where we first started.
Yeah, absolutely. I see the same thing, like you said, the facilities. I mean, you know, when I started, you know, like we were just talking about, we were all out at Campbell Road, and there was about 12 of us working, and we were doing 5 o'clock, 6:30, 8 o'clock sessions, and you know, it's obviously turned into five or six different locations and 35 full-time staff and office staff and facilities and facility management. It's been a big growth, you know, not just for us, but obviously across the board with a lot of clubs. So yeah, really good. So one of the things that we just discussed at the start, Dan, and I know, you know, obviously talking to you daily and going through this process of what's going on right now in the world, you know, we've had to adapt and change a little bit. And, you know, I know that you've especially, out of a lot of people, have put a lot of effort into getting things up and running and trying to stay ahead of the curve. You know, I talked briefly at the start there and on the last podcast about the social media side of things and what we've been doing to post some updates on there and post some sessions and things like that. What are your thoughts on the things that the club are doing? And do you want to just kind of touch base on a couple of the other things that the club are implementing right now and maybe some of the stuff that is going to come down the line here in the next couple of weeks as we kind of progress through this?
Yeah, I think we're trying to reach out on all the platforms that we have available for the club. I think what we're trying to do is mix in, you know, the workouts with a little bit of fun, with a little bit of challenges. You know, I know we have the at-home challenge. We have, in some campuses, we have a singing challenge. There may be a masked singer coming soon or a coaches challenge. I think with the individual phone calls to the players to give them, to sort of tailor the three-week workout that we sent out, to tailor it a little bit more individual for them on these personal phone calls, I think it shows the staff and the club are really vested in the players during this time. So I think bringing that in really, really helps. And I think reaching out to a younger audience, which social media is probably not my strong point, but reaching out to a younger audience, you have to reach out on all the platforms that we have available. So I think the club are doing, social media team are doing a fantastic job on that. I think coming down the pipeline, once the online school work gets going and people get used to that, we don't want to flood everybody with all of our ideas at once. But I think one thing that's been discussed is like a Zoom classroom kind of session where the kids can see each other, they can have that interaction. We can talk about video analysis. We can have a laugh and a joke with the kids. They can get some kind of normality back at this time. So I think what we're trying to do is keep them involved, keep them loving soccer, loving the game, and trying to provide some relief from the schoolwork, probably online as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously something, you know, we've been discussing daily, as Dan said there, you know, over this next 10 days, you know, if you haven't had a call already, you start getting calls from your core coach and just touching base, see how each family's doing and follow up on things like that. But yeah, down the line here now, we're just kind of implementing this. How do we get back into some sort of normality of getting the teams together as a whole with the classroom sessions and obviously timing that down, right? So, you know, if we understand that people are still busy, that kids have got online school to do, and it's kind of a lot. And especially if you're, I guess, and you're a parent yourself, you know, it's kind of overawing at times when you've got to kind of balance all this off for your kids. So hopefully we can kind of do those meetings as teams, like in the evenings around the time that they would normally have a session on those days. So it kind of follows a schedule, right?
For sure. I think yesterday, everybody's sort of getting into the routine. Again, you need a routine, especially in the weeks, especially with kids. My two daughters have the dance class at 3:00. You know, online, and they had the soccer phone call, then they did the soccer workout. So I think once everybody's set in a routine, adding some sort of like classroom session, I think will be good. It's just getting back in. The routine has changed, you know, so it's just getting back into some kind of normality with a routine for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good, very good. So obviously one of the things we talked about, Dan, was obviously the many hats that you've worn, and currently one of the hats that you're wearing right now is, you know, you've gone back into our girls' campuses out in Kiddy in the West, and our central campus here at Campbell Road, and to go back in there and really try and grow that and give some meaning, more meaning to our campuses, to educate the coaches. How are you finding? I know you've got a couple of teams as well in there. So how are you finding those players and those parents and the coaches? Is it an enjoyable experience in there? And what have you kind of learned? And how are you looking to grow that?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable. I think, like you said, it has changed a little bit. I met with Mark and yourself, and just said, listen, I feel that the vision of the club is, We want to build campuses. We want to create better players in the campuses. We want to provide a better opportunity, a better pathway for the campuses. It also coincided with, I didn't really want to travel all over the country anymore, like you do, and Ben does, and Rafa and Josh. I think that it was kind of like goes hand in hand with the vision that I had that I presented to you guys, and I thank the club very, very much for letting me run with it, and Mark Rufo as well. And I think, initially, we've had success. I mean, the teams are getting better. I think the coaching level's gone up. They want to work. They want to do well. I think the main thing in the campuses is we're treating them exactly like we would treat our elite teams.
Right.
So yeah, they will have the same expectations. They will have the same standards. But of course, you may have a team that maybe a lower level playing team that they may just want to play with their friends. We understand that. But for the most part, what I've found in the campuses is people want this. They want to be pushed. They want to be driven. They want to have opportunities and clear pathways for maybe a college pathway. If not a college pathway, can they go and play on the varsity team at a young age? Can they become a better player? And to be honest, Steve, I found at first, change is always difficult. And I think you can attest, I'm not always the easiest person to be around or the demands you put on the players on the fields. So I think at first it was going slow, but with the staff now and everybody's bought in, I think it's a fantastic opportunity for the players in the Central and West area. And some players say to us, as you know, I can't travel down here, I can't go.
Yeah,
there, can't
absolutely, go. Yeah.
So with the demographics of Houston, it's like, well, you don't have to. You can try and hear now. We're pretty flexible,
yeah,
as a club with regards to where you train and where you can play. So for me personally, I'm totally enjoying it. I've met some fantastic people. I work with some fantastic players and staff. So I couldn't be more happy with how it's gone in in the infancy stage, shall we say, of me going back into the campuses.
Brilliant. And one of the other hats that you wear, and we'll see where this goes with the summer, Dan, because we obviously don't know right now, but obviously, you're helping with Ben with the with our WPSL team, the Royals. Obviously, with you being here so long, you've worked with a lot of those players that have come through Albion Hurricanes and gone on to play collegiate soccer or even festival soccer. And we've had a lot of those on the girls' side. And obviously, some of those girls now coming back in to play with the Royals. And obviously, like I said, we don't know right now. We know when that season will start, and hopefully we'll get some updates soon. But do you want to just touch base a little bit on that experience that you're having, with the Royals, what we've done so far with that, and kind of what your hopes is for that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, all being well, I'm really looking forward to helping Ben. I've sort of been on the periphery of the Royals, but we're traveling a little bit and doing different jobs. Didn't really have the time to fully commit to it. But I think this year, find time if the summer will be in well again, and working with Ben is a good opportunity. But the good thing for me is, like you said, I've been here a long time, is I get to see some young girls from 9 years old develop into young ladies and young women, and they come back and play for us. The Royal squad, if you look at it, is mostly either current Albion players or former Albion players. And that when they come back and they're a good human being, a well-rounded young lady, it kind of gives you a little bit of a rush about you've done your job quite well, to have some sort of part in that process to develop the person as well as the player. So our squad, really, not just Albion players, other players are obviously going to play in the squad, but I feel we have a strong squad, a good squad, but it's something that you look forward to, coaching them at a different level. As you know, you can't start coaching a 9-year-old like you would maybe a 21-year-old, a 20-year-old. So for me personally as a coach, I think it's a great test, and it's something different to put, I believe in, which we can touch on later. I believe you must push yourself out of your comfort zone to get better in anything. You know, so I think in this situation, it's okay, let's have a go at this, and let's really try and help these players. We don't want these players to come in and just keep fit. We want to make these players better. And I think talking to players at college or talking to players within the club, they thank us for that. They don't just want us to gather and run about and go play. We really want to be vested in making these players better. So a little bit long-winded answer, but fully looking forward to working with the team.
Good. And like I say, hopefully, you know, we'll have some updates for everybody soon on the Royals season, on the women and the men in the USL too. And hopefully when that will get up and running. And Dan, with the Royals, first year that we're going to be playing back out at Campbell Road Sports Park, you know, we're going to put some game days on where people can come and hopefully we can have food and drink now there, and people can come and enjoy it. So, you know, hopefully we can get a good crowd out there and create a bit of an atmosphere, and we can have some fun with it.
Yeah, I think my old coach used to say, it's coaching is about not just about developing the players, but what are you doing to make those players have the love for the game to maybe go into coaching and then to put people in the stands. So I think playing at Campbell Road Sports Park with the facility we have there and how it's developing, I really think that the club will get behind it. We have a lot of interest. We have a lot of young players. They have some heroes out on the field, shall we say. I know we did the Big Sister type of approach a couple of years back, something that we want to try and implement again coming in. But they can look up to these players on the field and they can see in real time, in a live version, rather than, you know, has been coaches trying to do tricks and demos, they can actually look up to these players on the field. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's exciting times being out at back at our facility.
And it's great as well, because obviously what it creates and the kind of the reason we started the whole Royals program, you know, it creates that pathway for our players where they you know, they can come in at 6, 7, 8, you know, they can move up the ranks and play locally in the campus into regionally and nationally if they're good enough to make it. And then, you know, the collegiate process, but then beyond that now with the Royals, you know, there's a pathway for them all the way through, right? And that's kind of what we're looking for.
For sure. And I think, you know, coming from college and coming back at Albion, it's a good chance to keep honing the skills, and who knows in the future, you know, whether this continues with the Royals and continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and some of them may play for us full time. You know, you don't wear soccer goes. The landscape changes drastically pretty often.
Yeah, and it has done recently. So, well, great stuff, Dan. Well, what I want to do with a lot of the people that I'm kind of talking to at the end of the podcast is get a little bit of a more of a background with you and a little bit of fun with it. So, a couple of quick kind of fire questions to finish off with, and just give us some of your thoughts on this stuff. Here we go. So favorite club, Dan. Favorite soccer club.
Wolverhampton Wanderers, known as Wolves.
Yeah, and obviously you used to play there.
Stayed from 13 to just under 19.
Very good. And how do you think they're doing at the moment? Doing a great job in the Premier League, huh?
Fantastic. I think the crowd, the fans are excited. A lot of my friends, obviously Wolves fans, are excited. I think it's not just winning, it's how they're winning or how they're playing. The coach has brought in a fantastic style. It's exciting. It's exciting to see. Couldn't be more happy. I try and fly back and catch a couple of games, especially while they're in the Premiership. You know, nobody wants to fly back when they're in League Two and League One. You can't really justify that to the missus, you know. But when in the Premier League on the TV, you say, look, I'm going to go back and watch these. So
yeah,
couldn't be more happy with how they're doing.
All right. Now, it doesn't have to be a Wolves player, but it could be if you want. But current favourite player that's playing around the world?
I think if you pick a Wolves player, I've always liked Ruben Neves. When I went over there, he scored a fantastic free kick. To watch how he makes time for himself on the ball, his technical ability, he has everything that I didn't, you know, so you kind of appreciate big players' skills more so when you know how hard it is to do what they do. So I certainly think probably Ruben Neves for the Wolves. And, you know, around the world, but I've always been a Ronaldo fan. You know, I know there's a Ronaldo-Messi debate. I've always been a Ronaldo fan, just how he looks after himself. And he's, what is he now, about 44 years old?
he's getting up there, isn't he, slowly? He's like,
he's in the best shape of that age I've ever seen. He's still scoring goals. And to be that far above everybody else at that age, I think it's unbelievable, to be honest. So I would say Ronaldo.
Very good. And obviously from a coach's point of view, I know we spend a lot of time as coaches, you know, watching things online, reading books about coaches, looking at philosophies and things. You know, if you had to kind of pick a coach that you know, maybe you look at their philosophy and model a little bit on what you do, or, you know, is there somebody out there, whether it's somebody past or somebody current, that you go, wow, you know, this person's got it going, and what a great coach.
Yeah, I don't obviously want to be biased here, but Nuno, the Wolves head coach, I think he's a breath of fresh air. I think the way he delivers to his players, seem to want to play for him, and that's probably the main aspect of coaching, get your players to want to play for you. And I think how he's delivering, his playing style, his man management, I think he's fantastic. But I also do like Chula's, Jurgen Klopp, just the passion that he shows on the sideline, and yeah, how he comes across in interviews. He never takes it too serious if they win or they lose. He's kind of well, even balanced. And then the former coach that we had, and many of the people that I'm still friends with that we played with, he's probably the best coach I've ever been around, Robert Kelly. I think he's coaching in Germany at the moment. He was so ahead of his time. He was initiation of stuff, of activities that he brought in as a young player. I am a brother. To this day, model ourselves after Robert Kelly. We just thought it was that good with his delivery for the players, the way we get the best out of the players, in his tactical setup. And he had a saying, Steve, and I know this is probably a discussion with somebody else, but you cannot blanket every player the same and every team the same. So what he tried to bring in at Wolves was not every team would play the same because they didn't have the same players, and not every player would be asked to do the same thing. And I think that resonated with me throughout my coaching career, and has stood me in good stead, to be honest. So I would love to catch up with Rob again. If he's listening, have a chat, pick his brains, but he was a fantastic coach.
Great stuff. And on that note, Dan, you mentioned there Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool and kind of how they're doing. What's your current thoughts with the Premier League season? How do you think it's going to end, and what do you think's what? How do you think it should end?
Yeah, I think nobody knows really how it's going to end at this point in time. But I do believe that Liverpool should be given a title. Not given a title, but they're in the title. They're 25 points ahead. I think they've played enough games to warrant being given a title. I think a league that could say, right, we'll cut off points at 30 games, or we'll cut off points if they have to do that. And I think it would be very, very harsh if Liverpool don't win the title. But I think they will finish it. I think they'll play through the summer. The important thing is make sure, you know, protect the players, give them a little bit of a break. But the fans, I think the fans would want it. I think they would change some summer plans. They'd want to go out and watch. But I can't say either way. Should it finish or should it not at the moment? But I do feel that it'd be harsh if Liverpool don't get given the title.
It would be very harsh the way they've played this year. But as a Man United fan, I think the season should be null and void immediately and just start afresh next year. I think that's only the fair way to do it. But no, I agree with you, Dan. I think they have to finish it somehow. And I know some of the lower leagues have already been kind of cancelled, but I think they'll find a way to get it done. So there we go. So last question for you. Then we'll let you go. I know we've got a lot to do today and keep moving forward with this stuff online and all the stuff with the coaches and talking to parents and things. Obviously, as a parent yourself of kids, and obviously, you've got playing soccer, what's your best advice for parents and players at home right now? What do you think that the parents can do to help the kids out on the soccer front? What do you think the kids can be doing? What would you plan out?
I see that you missed out the question. What am I doing to keep fit? Is that because you saw my Twitter post yesterday with my weight?
I was going to put I was going to ask you what you're doing to stay busy, but I know you're a busy man anyway, so that's your
name. I think my advice is use this time to get better. I'm quite a positive person. Try and turn a positive out of a negative. Today, at the moment, it can be seen as very, very negative. And I think if the environment is safe, as the players, what I'm telling them, use this time to improve. Don't sit down for 3 weeks and not do anything with a soccer ball. Go invent stuff in the back garden. It's a time now for, I think, kids inventing stuff to stop the boredom will help them as soccer players as well, because they're using their imagination again.
Right.
It's not always being given to them by, I think we coach the kids too much. Everything's given to them without them thinking.
Right.
So I would say to the parent, any parent, any player, instead of parent, don't coach your kid, just provide a safe environment. Let the kids do what we're sending them, let the kids make things up, let the kids have fun with it. But use this time to become a better soccer player. I can't stress that enough. Don't use this time to think, I'll just play soccer when I come back, because you'll be behind people. And I think the message from the club, from us to the players, when we call them, is please use this time to get better. And to be honest, Steve, on some of the calls, they text me what they're doing, and I text them back, hey, you know, drop your right shoulder here, change the angle of approach. So I think we're still having that personal contact with the players to where we can still affect the technical ability, but not swarming all over them, which will give them time, I think, to use their imagination again.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things from my end, Dan, on this, and please feel free to comment on it. I mean, you know, having, you know, I'm going out and walking around a couple of parks and doing things like that. And we drove out to the grocery store the other day, and you see people out walking on the streets, you know, with the family, exercising, kids throwing a football or a frisbee or kicking a soccer ball around in the park. I hope that when all this is over, that some of that continues, because I think that, you know, when me and you, and I know this is the old saying, but when, you know, when me and you were growing up, you know, I probably didn't have a real coach, you know, that was really teaching me tactical stuff and things like that. And, you know, until I was 14, 15. And so we learned a lot of our stuff just playing on the street. And like you said, just inventing games and being creative and, you know, finding time to take some touches and technical touches. And, you know, maybe out of all this that, you know, kids will spend a little bit more time, not just at our sessions, but going home and practicing a little bit more on their own. And maybe, you know, something good will come of that. And, you know, I think that, you know, that hopefully this will turn out to be in a long way, you know, in a positive way. Because like I said, that's how me and you grew up, right? We grew up playing, you know, in the backyard, on the streets with a friend, sometimes on our own, right? And that's kind of how it was.
I think you learn off each other as well. You know, somebody doing a trick on the latest PlayStation game, or you'd see in our time Paul Gascoigne do a trick or Geeks do a trick, and you go and you try and be that player on the field or on the streets underneath the lamppost.
Right.
And it just bringing back, you never bring that culture back, because I think the demographics of certainly America are different, but you can in small areas if we leave the kids alone sometime. I think Wayne Gretzky said it best, give the game back to the kids. And I think sometimes we're guilty of not giving the game back to the kids. When the kids rock up and they just do street soccer and we set the cones up, that's a good session. But because we're not screaming and shouting, it may not be perceived to be that way. But for sure, growing up in that environment certainly helped me as a player. And if somebody was better than me on the street or somebody was better than me down the park, I'd go work harder because
exactly.
I wanted to be the best player on the street.
So exactly.
Down the park.
Yeah. Exactly. Same from my end. It was exactly the same. And you know, that's how you learn sometimes, you know, what works for you. And it's difficult as a coach to work on technical things, right? Because the way that you kick a ball to the way that I kick a ball to the way that, you know, Lionel Messi or Cristiano, it's very different. It's very individualistic. And so there's nothing better than repetition. And for somebody going out and, you know, work on their first touch or work on their passing or work on their shooting and finding what works for them where they can be consistent. Because, you know, that's very difficult to coach technique when it's a very individualistic thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's the environment that you put players in that would allow them to flourish with the technical ability. There are some basic fundamentals, but like you said, you can't overdo it with the players because they're not going to strike it like we're going to strike it, and nor should they, because the body mechanics are different than ours. So I totally agree with giving things to do, let them do the technical things on their own, but also don't just technical without pressure. It has to some reciprocate the game at some stage to where you add a little bit of pressure. Going back to playing over the park, you always have pressure because you play like small-sided games. If there's 8 of you, you play 4v4, you play 3v3. And I got one of the worst emails I've ever got because I trained a team for 2 weeks with no bids. So I said, you're going to be this team, you're going to be this team. And I got called unprofessional and all this back in the day. And once I explained that,
yeah,
it makes them look up, it makes them do this, it makes them talk to each other. It's like, oh, okay, I'll leave you alone. But, you know, I think as coaches, we can't be fearful to implement some of the tactics that served us so well for when we were growing up on the streets and the lack of equipment. So we improvised.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dan, on that note, I appreciate your time. I hope everybody's enjoying listening. We'll be trying to do a few more of these podcasts over the next few weeks and have some other guests on. But as always, it's a pleasure to have Dan on. He's got a lot of experience. He's been with the club a long time, very well known throughout Houston, South Texas, and nationwide on the soccer scene. So, Dan, appreciate your time. I hope you're well and your family's well, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
No problem. Thanks, Steve. Thank you all.
Thanks a lot. Bye, Dan.